Welcome to Intuitive Eating for Christian Women. I'm your co-host, Erin Todd. I'm a writer and an intuitive eater.
And I'm your co-host, Charlie Castle, registered dietitian and exercise physiologist. We're here to help you discover whole health for your mind, body, and soul.
That's right. Our goal is to embody scripture, ditch dieting, and live on purpose.
Woo! Woo! Yes, girl.
This episode of Intuitive Eating for Christian Women is going to be all about exploring the benefits of being connected in community. Before we begin today, let me give this quick disclaimer. This program is for informational and educational purposes only, and it is not a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice. Our aim is to introduce you to the principles of intuitive eating and help you see how those principles align with scripture so you can improve your relationship with food, your body, and God, and cast out dieting for good.
Yes, so let's chat about community. First off, I just want to say that everything that we have been doing, Erin, is in community. And
yes, girl.
Since we started doing this together instead of doing it separately, wow, what a difference that has made. I don't know that I would still be here doing this work if we weren't doing it in community.
Yeah, we can go so much farther together than we can alone.
Yeah. So God didn't intend for us to live in isolation. He specifically designed us to crave and thrive in relationships with others. We are certainly our best selves when we're experiencing life's highs and lows with others. So I want to talk about some personal benefits of community, which we know when we work on these personal things that they impact our community and the others around us and just God's kingdom as a whole. But it starts with a personal relationship with the Lord and purposefully choosing to be in relationship. So the first one is that community is so encouraging. Being in community gives us the chance to be around people at different stages in their faith journey and to bear their burdens alongside them, like Galatians 6:2 says. Community creates the ideal environment to be a friend, a teacher, and a student. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching."
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. Community is encouraging and community is also fun. So Psalm 133:1 in the NIV puts it this way: "How good and pleasant it is when God's people join together in unity." Good and pleasant. I don't know about you, but I could use a little bit more of that in my life. And I think the example of working together, Char, is just the perfect example of that. Fun. This has been fun and enjoyable and good and pleasant. And just being around other people, especially other believers, is just such a positive and enjoyable and fun thing in life that can be difficult and not so fun. This is a bright spot and not to be missed.
Yeah. And like full of laughter too. There's all this laughter that doesn't happen if you're by yourself.
Right?
But it happens when you're together. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Community attracts the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 18:20, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is present whenever believers gather together. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that is so impactful. And I think that we all know that from our experience. The way you feel Him move when you come together in prayer or come together to worship Him, you can feel that presence. And what an encouragement that is.
Yeah. Community is a life-giving and essential element of following Christ. Romans 12:4-5 puts it like this: "For each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." So this is really helpful for thinking about how we work together and how each one of us individually is part of the larger body of Christ. And if we didn't have each one of us contributing our role, our function, the body of Christ as a whole, you know, the global seed, big church of all believers, it doesn't work the same way. So we can participate in this amazing, essential part of being a Christian by being with other people and doing doing our role, being our function, our body part in the larger body of Christ together with other people. And this is like, this is kind of one of the main and most powerful like facets of community, and just a beautiful picture of how the Lord looks at, I think, the body and then the big B body.
Yeah. So if you're not involved in community, there is a body somewhere like missing a finger or of a thumb or an arm, and yeah, they would love to have you on board.
Yes.
And also, community provides accountability and encourages growth. 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 27 says, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And then also Proverbs 27, 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And I think that these verses are so beautiful about what it means to be in a Christ-centered community. That if one part, one body part is suffering, that we're all going to come alongside and suffer with it and walk with you through that. And then something that we don't see often in our culture, that if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. That's part of the fun of community, is celebrating other people being honored and celebrating their gifts and celebrating their wins. And then at the same time, being able to come alongside somebody that's struggling and walk with them in that.
Yeah, that's such a win-win, because that means when you're struggling, you're not alone in that. And you know, you have people that are going to be there and be with you in that and suffer alongside you, and so that you're not alone. And then you get to share the joy. Like, it's just, it's better together. Yeah. It's so beautiful. And, you know, this kind of community gives us personal benefits. Like, it's fun, it's enjoyable, it's accountability. The Holy Spirit is here. It's encouraging. And it is absolutely essential for an intuitive eating journey, because choosing to walk away from diet culture is a massive countercultural move. And just like so many other aspects of following the Lord, like, counterculture is a hard place to be. And so we need a community of believers around us for that. Jesus knows we need support and encouragement in order to live this way, the way he's called us to live. And so he calls us to community the same way he called his disciples. And, you know, some of our home churches aren't the right community to walk this journey out in, because diet culture has seeped in and taken root in our churches. And not everybody has the benefit of a church that is a safe place for them, or a place where they can explore intuitive eating and just kind of this non-diet approach to things. So if you don't have a community in your church, you absolutely need community for this intuitive eating walk.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not to put down anybody's church.
Right.
But, you know, we kind of see it everywhere that diet culture has seeped into many churches. And so if you're on this intuitive eating journey and, you know, you're just not really finding anybody in your church body that's on the same track, you need a community around you for this, and you need support for it, for yourself with the benefits that we've talked about, but then also all of these things pour into benefiting the kingdom, benefiting sharing the gospel. We talked about starting to work together 3 years ago, Erin, and our original vision for our work together for the podcast came from the Valley of Dry Bones passage.
That's right.
Out of Ezekiel 37. And I would love to read that today.
Please.
Hopefully without crying. Okay, so this is NIV. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it that this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord."
Oh, girl, chills. You know, when we were originally studying that passage, you pointed out that at that point we were praying for revival, but now it's been 3 years and the Lord has moved, and we are witnessing right now a revival as this army of Christian women rise from the ashes of dieting. And they're rising with their health restored, with their relationships with food and body healed. They're walking free from the bondage of diet culture. They're embodying scripture and walking out their own personal God assignments, doing kingdom work and living on purpose. We want to keep this going, this revival. And this requires that we keep meeting together, we keep praying together, and offering ourselves to the Lord as living sacrifices for his work.
So we have some stuff here coming up. It's an RC meditation, Regnum Christi, right?
Yes, that's right.
from February 3rd of 2022.
I saved this one. It was so good.
Yeah. Such good stuff. So let's talk about it. It is from Mark 6, 7 through 13.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about community. And he talks about how Christ sent out his apostles in pairs. And says, "The fact that the gospel mentions this detail shows that it's not just an accident. There are some passages in Matthew's gospel that can shed some light on this desire of Christ. First, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." That's Matthew 18:20. The apostles are first and foremost called to witness to Christ by their example. They are to foster communion and charity among themselves so that others, seeing how they interact with each other, will be led to exclaim, "See how they love one another?" The apostle teams exhibited oneness of heart and soul, sharing in common what they were able to procure, like lodging, success, failure. And with such an attitude, Christ promises that he would be there in their midst. And I think that this speaks to any community, but it speaks to the community that we have here walking out this intuitive eating journey. I think about how our culture can treat each other based on body size or the way you look or what assumptions diet culture makes about people's character based on how they look, and just the separation that's there in the body of Christ around this issue. It's not oneness. And so when we come together around this, we're having this opportunity to show others how we can love one another in our differences, in celebrating the different variety of bodies that God created.
Mm. Yeah. See how they love one another. Mm-hmm. And those skills that we build in that safe community of loving one another and respecting the dignity of every person there and celebrating the uniqueness of their body and their body's role in the big B body. Mm-hmm. All of that is something that is just such a powerful witness. Like, that's how you love. That points to Jesus every time. Mm. Okay, the Regnum Christi Daily Meditation also has this really great facet of this gospel passage that's more than one witness. So it says, "If you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses." That's Matthew 8:16. "The word of one person who has witnessed a miraculous event alone is often taken as no more than the word of a crazy man. However, if more than one person confesses to having witnessed the event, there is much stronger proof. The apostles went about witnessing to the things that Jesus was doing and the signs he was working, healing the sick, casting out demons, etc. We get to team up with fellow Christians who have been freed from diet culture in order to witness to the work of Christ in our lives. There is more than one witness in this community. We get to show up and say, God did this healing in my life. God did this healing in her life. God did this healing in her life. The power of that witness grows stronger the more of us there are. And when we come together, the power of that witness is something.
Yeah, yeah. The other piece of this meditation was about what makes apostles effective, right? So it says, Jesus makes it clear, with regard to the mission, another apostle is more important than other material tools. Jesus teaches us here the principle of teamwork. An apostolic colleague helps us to be vigilant against dangers to our health and well-being, physical and spiritual. So good. Prayer can be in community. Jesus assures us that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Matthew 18:19. Working in a team also helps to improve our effectiveness. Each enriches the other with the exchange of knowledge, personal and lived experiences, and views on the situation. Each complements the other, contributing their God-given gifts, abilities, and qualities. Two heads are better than one. This is where we are all members of the body of Christ, and we are all needed. If you're not in a community, there is a community that needs the exact gifts and talents and abilities and life experiences that you have.
Mm, yeah. I love that this highlights, you know, when he's sending them out two by two, it's more important that they're with another person than the tools they have. Yeah. Like, that is so profound. So you might have all the tools at your disposal. You might be taking in all kinds of info, doing courses, learning stuff. But if you don't have another person to hold you accountable to it, to speak into that, to offer their experience, to be their body part in this big B body, you're missing out and it's not going to be as effective. I love that part. That's so good.
It is so good.
Okay. Two heads are better than one. Absolutely. So we need community to grow in our personal relationship with the Lord and to effectively share the gospel and how that gospel applies to our food and our bodies. And if we don't have community, we're just going to be spinning our wheels here. And that's why we've created the Intuitive Eating for Christian Women community. Mm-hmm. So our membership community has two goals here. Number one, to help women apply the gospel in regards to food and body, to walk alongside them as the Lord renews their relationship with their body and reestablishes their innate ability to eat intuitively. And two, to equip and support women as they introduce this message to their own communities, family, church, friends, etc., co-workers. So this is two layers, the personal layer and then the kingdom layer.
Yeah. So our community is really set up for beginners that are just starting to dip their toes in rejecting diet culture and learning to eat intuitively, and for people that have been walking this out for a long time and are now wanting to come alongside others and support them or wanting to take this message to their church. It's really for anyone in any level of relationship with the food to be here. So in the intuitive eating community, we have weekly online meetups. We have a private app, yay, that you can chat as a community. You can privately message each other. You can complete challenges together. We run exclusive book clubs with live Q&A sessions, live exclusive podcasts that Aaron and I do together. And then you have access to our membership library with tons of resources to kick off your intuitive eating journey or to stay the course. And you also have access to our membership archives. So recordings of every book club, every coffee date, everything that we have ever done. So it's a bomb of resources.
Yeah. The archives could keep you busy if you're looking for something to plug into. This membership is just a wealth of resources and tools and people. Yeah. And, you know, we're surrounded by people in our regular real world lives and online who are just stuck in diet culture and they don't get it. They don't understand that we're trying to break free, that we're doing something different, that we're intuitive eating and practicing, you know, weight neutrality and just completely upending our lives from diet culture. Like, that is a countercultural place to be, and it's lonely and difficult if you're trying to do it alone. And so we just want to let you know that you don't have to do this alone. And it's a lot better when you do it in community. Mm-hmm. We all need support and sisterhood to walk this out. So you're invited to come and link arms with other women and feel empowered and equipped to follow Jesus on this intuitive eating path. So if you're ready to invest in your faith-based intuitive eating journey and invest in relationships with other like-minded Christian women, then join us.
Yeah, you can join the Intuitive Eating for Christian Women community for just $1. You can try it out for 30 days for just $1. Come see what it's like to be a part of the community, to chat with other women, to experience these live calls, to check out the resources. It's just $1 to get going. And then after that, it's $25 a month to be a part of the community. So you can learn more and sign up on our podcast website, intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com/membership. That's intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com/membership.
Yeah, friends, if you heard anything we said today, it's that you need community in your life. And we are here to really encourage you and challenge you to find that community, whether it's ours or one in your church or a totally different one. It doesn't matter, but you need other women and other people to walk with on this journey. So please remember how powerful community is and avail yourself of that gift from the Lord. He wants us to be in community and do life together in unity with other people.
So good. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, first and foremost, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for all of this truth that you have spoken over us today, for giving us the, oh my gosh, Lord, the grace to have your word. We know that that's a gift. There are people that don't have access to your word, Lord, and you've given us that gift, and you've given us the ability to read it and understand it and comprehend it to the best of our ability, Lord. And I just thank you so much for that, God. Today, looking into your word, Lord, we see the power of community. We see your emphasis on walking this life out together. And Lord, just as you created community for your disciples, we know that you have created community for us. You create us for community. We are meant to thrive in a community with other people, Lord. You brought the 12 disciples together and your followers together, Lord, to eat meals together and sleep together and teach together and learn together and to call each other out when sin was happening and to witness beautiful miracles together and to worship together. And wow, the power that is in that, Lord. What you did with their lives, what you continue to do with their lives and through the gospel, Lord, is just amazing. And so we pray for a piece of it. We want to be here, Lord. We offer ourselves up as living sacrifices to be in community with other people, to encourage them, to love them, to spur them on, to walk with them in hurt and suffering, and to celebrate in joy and their honor, Lord. We pray that all of this shows you, that coming together and loving one another would show the world who our God is, a God of love and joy and peace and promise, Lord. And we pray that you'll use us in this way, and we thank you for the opportunity to do that. God, I pray for every woman listening to this podcast today, that you would speak to her and open her heart, Lord. Show her a community that is missing her, a community that's calling out for her spiritual gifts, for her talents, for her abilities, for who she is. We need her. We need her, Lord. And so I just pray that you will draw her into you. And through that, Lord, lead her to the community that's for her, that's waiting for her. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.